Hi, and welcome to Dip Stitch. This is Joe, and
Hi, sister.
hi, sister. How are you?
I'm doing good.
All right. Well, your average Dip Stitch show, because we are now going to have a conversation with our special guest, Kitty, who is our cousin.
Hi, Kitty.
Hello, my sisters. I don't want anyone to be nervous about adding another relative to these two, but I think we could have some fun tonight.
Well, you're very brave to be joining us, so thank you so much.
Well, I'm a little nervous. I'm gonna be honest, a little nervous about being on a podcast.
There's nothing to be nervous about. We're just gonna make fun of you the whole time.
Well, I'm sure I listened to your other podcasts. Jane, you were very nice to Jamie, but you were brutal to your mother. So I'm just going to be honest.
Yeah, but come on. Didn't some of that ring true?
Oh, yeah. I am. Yes.
Especially since your mom was just like my mom in a lot of ways.
So similar. And you know what? All I did was laugh. And it was poignant enough to bring a tear to my eye occasionally too,
Oh.
because we all grew up the same, didn't we?
Oh, absolutely.
We definitely did. And so it's funny, I was talking before we did this, having a conversation with my mom and Joe and talking about how our, even just like our, the way that the children went, you know, so my mom had three boys, a girl, boy, girl, and your mom had three girls, then a boy, then boy, girl. Almost the exact, very like almost exactly like ours, except switching boys with girls. So I thought that was interesting.
Well, I mean, it's interesting, but I think even more fun than that is the fact that we all had someone to relate to. So, like our mothers were so consistent about, like, we need to get together. And when they'd get together, at least all of us cousins had someone we could relate to. Like, so they would drag us along to have their visit with their teacups. And at least we were out in the yard and we had someone our own age to play with. And that was what I thought was like, that made the memories.
Yeah, they coordinated their
Oh,
pregnancies.
I mean,
They
is it, wait a
coordinated
minute, is it coordinated or was it just miraculous?
it.
We could have a
I don't
debate
know,
about that.
you're the one with 10 kids. How many kids do you have now? I
No.
don't
All
know.
right, wait a minute. First of all, I stopped years ago because I'm a little over that age, but
Right.
yeah, I ended with five,
Oh, is that all?
which is well below par. Your mother had six, and so did my mother, so I think I'm below that average.
Yeah, but don't you think in today's age, five kids is a huge family? Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes depending on my circle, you know, where you travel, five might be a lot. In the town I live in, it's kind of a natural thing. I don't know. I live in Scituate, Massachusetts, and we call it the Irish Riviera. So I'm not going to say that five is the norm. You know, it
Right.
can go anywhere from four to eight is more normal than five.
Kathy, I
Wow.
have to say, Kathy, I remember when you first moved to Scituate and I heard you talking about how it was so different for you being there and how you were at like some mom group and they talked about how to organize your linen closet. Or was that, do I remember that
Oh my
right?
gosh. All right, can I just say that the days of organizing the linen closet are over, because what's really in now is organizing your refrigerator.
Right.
You know, I mean, I've got plastic containers for my eggs,
Oh
and
boy.
yeah, I've kind of gone over the top. You know, in a
Right.
COVID world, there's really not much else to do but organize. Let's be honest,
Right.
girl.
Oh, sure. And I've cleaned out my closets like three times. I'm feeling really good about that. So COVID has some ups, you know,
Benefits,
what am
yeah.
I trying to say?
Benefits,
Benefits. Yeah.
yeah, we get it.
So when we were growing up, I can remember, I felt like when we went to Weymouth, we were going to like some swanky place on the water because you had that pond at the end of your street.
So, no. All right, Susan, it wasn't a pond.
A puddle?
Maybe. It actually did resemble a puddle, but it was, no, we lived on the Back River in... So we lived in the Idlewild section of Weymouth, and it was actually really interesting. Now it's an interesting waterway. When we were growing up, honestly, like I thought I lived on the ocean.
Yeah.
you know, seriously. And my mom, we went down there every day. And now I would call it more of a marsh area, but it's still a beautiful, beautiful waterway full of, you know, the ocean's treasures and very clean. And you know, like
why couldn't we swim there?
No, we could. We did.
Mother never let us, and your mother never let me when I stayed there. So I don't know. Maybe we weren't good enough for waterway in Weymouth.
Excuse me, Susan. Like I was already in college when you were sleeping over at my house because that's what happens in a big Irish family. Like the older kids leave and go. Goodbye. And then the younger kids come in, and maybe you lived a different life than me. My mother threw me into that river.
Well, plus, Kitty, let's make this clear that, I mean, I've brought it up in several episodes, but Susan is the favorite. She's like mommy's little plaything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, you know, gotta treat Susan special.
Yeah. No, you know what?
I don't think so.
Well, to be honest, because I've spent some time with Susan and I are getting to know each other again, we're reconnecting. And I do think there really is, and Joanne, you totally get this. Like there, when you're in a large family, there is a disconnect because you might have memories that the younger part of the family has no idea about. And the younger kids remember stuff so differently.
Exactly.
The older ones remember because, you know, basically our parents were lying to all of us. trying to make our life way better than it actually was. Like, Kitty, I thought I grew up in the ocean and I grew up in a marsh.
Kitty, you are so right because the age span is so great that the memories are totally different.
Yeah. And it doesn't make it good or bad. I mean, literally, like I laugh about the little marsh I grew up on. And it was, to me now, like I live in Scituate because I feel like I grew up in the ocean and I needed to settle as an adult in an ocean town. And I.
With 12 kids.
That was the ocean.
So the other thing too is, so we also, so we have many cousins. And we have other cousins who live in or grew up in Hyde Park. And so for when we went to visit you guys, I was like, oh, we're by the ocean or this beautiful river that I can't put my feet in. And then when we went to the Beatty's house, I was like, we're in the city. And oh, my God. And when I talked to them about or even you guys like Marlboro, you were like somewhere like in cow tipping country. You know what I mean? It was so weird how we thought of where we lived.
Well, I mean, and that's, you know, completely under the influence of our parents.
Right.
So the moms, you know, Kay, Mary, and Anne, it's all their fault. So, you know, like it had nothing to do with us. We had no idea what was going on. It was all about them. And Kay, you know, my mom from Weymouth, so we thought we were on the ocean. And she's like, we're going to go to Auntie Anne's today. And we would all grumble. Like, they live in Montana. Like, it's so far away. Why do we have to go to Marlboro? Like, we felt
we felt sophisticated out there in the country. We thought we were had it all going on.
Well, in the 70s, when you jump in one station wagon with two moms and, like, 19 kids...
Kathy, tell the story about when you'd stop for food. And
My favorite story is this. Of course, we'd all be starving, and we would stop Can you guys hear my Boston accent? I try not to like put it on.
It's fine.
Okay. So we would stop. We would like get, we would drive to Hyde Park and then we'd all jump in the same. So Auntie Mary would have five kids. I think at the time, let's not pretend Susie was even born yet. So
right.
We probably had four or five. So we had at least nine kids. Let's go with Mary and five and we had four. So we had nine kids and two parents. And, you know, oh, let's stop for lunch on the way up to Route 9. So we would cut through West Roxbury and get on to Route 9. And we would stop at McDonald's. And Auntie Mary would say, okay, she'd look in the back and see how many she had. And she'd say, all right, let's get five cheeseburgers and five French fries and five Cokes. But there would be 12 of us. And that was fine with her. And, you know, in those days, like literally it was probably 1974. It was probably 10 cents for a cheeseburger.
Right.
And a fry was probably 5 cents. I'm not really sure. But we would split everything. We all got maybe a quarter of a hamburger. And maybe like 13 fries. And then I think we passed around the Cokes and we took a sip. We could take a sip. And that would get us all the way to Marlboro. And as we passed all the cows heading up Route 9, I don't know what towns we were going through, but we definitely passed cows. And we thought yes. You guys lived on a dairy farm. And that was that. So that's funny. The memory of all of us. And if you ask the Beaties, as we were bouncing around in the back seat of that, station wagon, fighting for that middle seat, which wasn't a seat at all. It was that little spot in between the back seat and the way back. Yeah. So that's how it went. But you know what? They're also awesome memories.
Yeah.
What did you like about Marlboro? What did you like?
Oh, yeah. I love you had the biggest backyard that I've ever seen in my life.
We did.
Oh, yeah.
And guess what you had? You had two neighbors with built-in pools.
Yes.
So we did.
We actually thought you guys were very rich.
Oh, wow.
Not because you had a pool, but because you had two neighbors with pools.
Oh, that's too funny.
Kitty, tell us what you're working on now. I heard you started a new venture.
Oh, yeah. It's really kind of interesting. So I am I teach at a Catholic high school, and I'm a theology teacher, and I've just started a program in spiritual direction, which is very exciting. You know, it kind of branches out and expands, mm-hmm. you know, sort of the vision of just from a Catholic education, you know, helping my own students. Now it's expanded to just help all people kind of understand, you know, where they're going in their own journey, their own spiritual mm-hmm. journey, and where that takes them and where they're feeling led. And it's very open and exciting. And I'm in a 2-year program to be certified to do that professionally.
Wow.
And so I'm having a lot of fun with it, you know, late in my career, actually.
Do you find a lot of, I'm a practicing Catholic and I find, I come across a lot of Catholic bashing and it really bothers me.
Well, you know, I find it interesting for my generation who kind of grew up traditionally as Catholics and then spent a lot of years maybe either questioning or sort of apathetic about their own faith. Like they just never questioned it or never really confirmed it. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like we're living in a world that is just a lot wider. Mm-hmm. lot more welcoming and open to other ideas and faiths, and our own Catholic faith might have experienced some people who think we're too narrow-minded, and so you might get a lot of criticisms here and there, but
yeah.
That's why I love the discussion. It's
yeah.
fun to finally be able, because no one in the olden days really wanted to have just like a discussion about it. And I find it so opening to just say, hey, what do you think? What are you feeling? What are you praying about?
Well, that's a good point. That people didn't talk about their faith. They just had faith, and that was that.
Yeah, and can I just jump in and just have a quick story?
Sure.
I can remember saying to my mom one time, you know, not that long ago, maybe like 20 years ago, 10 years ago, like, you know, Mom, you never talked about God or whatever. And she goes, oh, yeah, I talked to him in the shower in the morning, you know. And I'm like, you do? Like, it was like, I didn't know that about her. I know it's funny, but it was at the time I was like, oh, Mom, you know, I was like, oh, I never knew what kind of faith she had. Like Joanne said, they had faith and that was it. And they went to church and they stood when they were supposed to stand and knelt when they were supposed to kneel and said what they were supposed to say. But when she said that, I was like, okay, cool. Like, she has a relationship that she never shared and wasn't comfortable sharing. So it's interesting, that old school kind of Catholic, mm-hmm. Irish Catholic, you know.
It's very Catholic. And I think that that's what's exciting about today is that, you know, when our parents, and even when we were growing up, our faith was very private.
Yeah.
Because we were Catholic.
Exactly.
But Protestants were always very evangelistic and very willing to share their faith. And it's kind of nice that we've been sort of given permission. I don't know who gave us permission, but we've been given permission.
We did.
Yeah. To just share our faith, which is so exciting.
Well, my best friend is an evangelical, and they have a totally different bend on their religion. They are out and loud about what they're trying to do, and I respect her for that. But I'm more of a private Catholic. I just, you know, I'm not that active, let's say.
Yeah, but Joanne, I bet your actions show your faith louder than what you would say. And that's what we really
Well, I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so.
I think so.
Yeah.
And it's kind of fun for us to finally, even just to discuss it. And I think that's what I'm doing with the spiritual direction program is just, hey, it's just time for us to be able to, like, if we have a voice, let's talk about how we can learn how to be that voice for the world that actually needs the, you know, God needs to be said out loud.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, Kathy, I have another story real quick.
Sure. But
I think you were the first person in our family to kind of be able to talk about it. But I think, do you remember when I stayed there and you took me to a prayer thing and people were speaking tongues and I came home and your like Jesus poster was following me around and crying and I was like, oh my God. And it was funny because whatever all that stuff was, we were able to have discussions about it because I got an experience that I never had before. So just, it was kind of interesting. And I always think of you and I think of things that are kind of not necessarily, you know, something specifically Catholic, but just spiritual and faithful. So it's great to be able to have those conversations with you. And because we come from, you know, the same family, it's even more special.
Well, and you know what I love is that I'm going to be honest with you, Susan, because we are like 13 years in difference in age. I barely remember that.
Yeah.
But I also think how beautiful it is that that isn't up to us, you know, that somehow God put you and me together and the experience I was having at the time touched you. And all these years later, we can still be having that discussion. And I think that that's what is so real.
Yep.
It's real.
Absolutely. And things don't happen by accident.
They don't. And we all know that. The older we get, we understand that all of our lives are interrelated. It doesn't even have to do with religion. It's just about, I mean, obviously, I know it's God created, right? Because he created all of us. But it's so beautiful that we can have these experiences and help each other out through the tough times and whether we're family or not, you know, but family has a special, like a bond that makes us laugh no matter what happens because
exactly
we have these common experiences.
Exactly. And, you know, when someone asks me, or if I do something nice for someone and someone will say, gee, that was very nice. And I'll say, we're all here to help each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't that the bottom line? Aren't we all here to help everybody?
Well, you would think so.
Yeah. Well, we have a record episode here. We're on 20 minutes, but I wish it could be 50 minutes. But we've got to cut it short now. And we hope that our audience enjoyed our conversation. And Susan, are you still there?
I am. I'm still here.
All right. Love you, sister.
You too, sister.
Okay. And Kitty, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh my gosh. It was so much fun. And I'd love to come back again sometime.
Thanks, Kathy.
Oh, good. Good. Thank you. And again, thank you everyone for listening. And we will see you later. Dip Stitch out.
Dip Stitch. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye, Kitty.
Goodbye, hon.